A story influenced by the philosopher Baruch Spinoza. An exciting voyage awaited in the busy classroom where eager minds sought information. The pupils set off on a fascinating journey known as classroom time travel after being inspired by the allure of history. A mysterious doorway that may take them to earlier times was hidden behind the walls of their regular school. The Jewish-Dutch philosopher Baruch Spinoza is there to discuss with the students and answer their questions about philosophy. For students, their teacher Mrs. Taylor and the philosopher participate in the discussion. The students are in groups of two and they have different philosophical works of Spinoza in front of them. Teacher, please sit in groups of two. We are excited to have here with us today a great philosopher, one of the primary thinkers of the Enlightenment, modern biblical criticism and 17th century rationalism. The students were staring at the stranger with inquisitiveness and high expectations. Teacher, our guest is Mr. Baruch Spinoza, one of the most important philosophers and of course the most radical of the early modern period. He is here to answer any of your questions through the conversation you will have with him. Feel free to ask him anything you want. The discussion will be open. Spinoza, good morning, kids. Thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be here with you today, and I'm sure we will have a very productive discussion. The students were hanging on the lips of the philosopher while he went on. Spinoza, so, I'm ready for your questions. All four hands were immediately raised up. Spinoza, wow, we have a lot of questions here. First student, so, could you tell us a few things about yourself? Spinoza, well, as you already know, I am Baruch Spinoza, and I am also known as Bento or Benedictus de Spinoza. As your teacher has already told you, I am a Jewish-Dutch philosopher born in Amsterdam on the 24th of November, 1632 to a family of wealthy Portuguese Jewish merchants. On the death of my father in 1654, I along with my brother took over the responsibilities of our family business. Second student, did you continue with the family business responsibilities? Spinoza, no, I did not. Do you want to know why? Because actually, I could not. I abandoned the family business to learn lens making and then to become a craftsman specializing in optics while at the same time immersing myself in philosophical studies. Third student, Anne. What happened next? Spinoza, well, in 1656 I was excommunicated from the Portuguese Jewish community in Amsterdam after being issued a harem. Do you know what a harem is? It is the highest form of censure in the Jewish community that entails the total exclusion of a person from the Jewish community. I was accused of monstrous deeds and abominable heresies. Fourth student, but did you actually commit any of those deeds? Spinoza, thanks for asking me this question. I would say no, I didn't. In fact, there is no evidence indicating that I committed any of those deeds I was being accused of, or even what exactly these allegations constituted, but as you may guess, the source of these accusations comes from my philosophical views on God, religion, Judeo-Christian values, and the soul, which diverged from the accepted views of the Talmud Torah congregation at the time. First student, so, what happened after your excommunication? Spinoza, well, my dear students, after being excommunicated, I changed my first name from the Hebrew Baruch to the Latin Benedictus, both of which mean blessed. Then, in 1661, I moved from Amsterdam to the suburb of Regensburg, Netherlands, following my attempted assassination with a knife while leaving a theater. Second student, our teacher told us that you were called atheist. What was the outcome of being labeled as an atheist? Spinoza, labeled as an atheist by some authors, for some others I sought to substitute God or nature. In reality, and as a fierce critic of popular religion, I sought to detach God from superstition and the interpretation of scripture from supernatural revelation. Third student, and what made them give you that title? Spinoza, I was given this title after having criticized popular religions as a grave danger to the peace and stability of the state, while dedicating much of my work to the interpretation of scripture and advocating the complete freedom of religion. Moreover, as a psychological egoist, I held that individuals are solely driven by their own interests, from which one can infer the implication that human beings for me are valuable as far as they have utility for others. At the same time, however, I was a proponent of human community based on love and friendship. Fourth student, how would you describe your writing style and methodology? Spinoza, that's an interesting question. Well, like many other 17th century philosophers, my writing style and methodology can be described as analytical. The description analytical here points to the argumentative style and methodology, where propositions are presented in the form of arguments, broken down into premises and conclusions. My arguments are usually presented in the form of proofs underneath each proposition. First student, what does this writing style teach us as young learners? Spinoza, well, my writing style allows young learners who are new to philosophy to be taught some basic concepts in logic and then employ these concepts to logically examine the propositions presented and eventually evaluate them based on their validity, soundness, strength, and cogency. In this way, you will be exposed to one of the fundamentals of philosophy, that is, logical and argumentative thinking. Much of the historical development of philosophy can be seen as the critical reception, interpretation, and development of philosophical ideas, concepts, systems, and methods of philosophers by other philosophers, as well as their, Ms., understanding of other philosophers and the critical correspondence between them. Interesting, huh? Students continue staring in great amazement at the philosopher, nodding in agreement. First student, but do you believe that critical thinking is of any value? Spinoza, absolutely yes. Without a doubt, critical thinking and reasoning is a valuable tool for philosophers, philosophy researchers, as well as philosophy students, just like you, who want to ruminate on and understand the thoughts of influential philosophers in their historical, social, and political contexts. Second student, do you have the same opinion on logical and argumentative thinking? Spinoza, well, my friend, logical and argumentative thinking is an important starting point for philosophy beginners, people like you, which will provide you with tools that will enable you to critically evaluate influential ideas and arguments presented by important thinkers. Third student, where would you place yourself? Spinoza, Well, as it is the case with many, if not most philosophers, it is difficult to place me under one or two areas of philosophy. Let me give you an example. The work begins with metaphysics and moves towards my theory of knowledge, epistemology, minus which is interrelated with my metaphysics, as both my metaphysics and epistemology are interrelated with my ethics. Fourth student, what about Tractatus Theologico-Politicus? How would you categorize it? Spinoza, similarly, Tractatus Theologico-Politicus is a treatise on the relationship between religion and the state, and covers both areas of philosophy of religion and political philosophy, as well as ethics and metaphysics. Fourth student, I have another question. Spinoza, please, go ahead. Fourth student, what is hidden behind explanatory rationalism? Spinoza, one theme appearing in my metaphysics is explanatory rationalism. By this term, I wanted to identify logical or absolute necessity with causal necessity. Following this reasoning, which connects premises to their conclusions and valid arguments, pertains to what is necessary as much as the connection between an effect and its cause pertains to what is necessary. First student, are there any other themes to take in consideration? Spinoza, well, another theme in my metaphysics and of which I am famous for, is concept dualism, a theme inherited from Descartes' mind-body dualism. Sharing the same assumption as Descartes, that matter and mind are two qualitatively distinct entities, I also claim that there is no overlap whatsoever between the material aspects of physical things and the aspects that pertain to the human mind or thought. Second student, why are you considered as a substance monist then? Spinoza, well, this is actually because I claim that there is only one kind of substance from which all other living and inanimate things derive from. I ascribe this kind of substance to God or nature. Third student, and does this lead to the identity theory of mind and body? Spinoza, yes, it does. According to this theory, as put forward by more recent identity theorists, mental phenomena, such as pain, are identical with neuronal states in the brain. But this is another theory intertwined with neuroscience and well beyond our scopes. Teacher, well, students, I believe Mr. Spinoza has answered all your questions. Thank you for your precious time, Mr. Spinoza, it was lovely having you. We have all learned some valuable information about your philosophical theories today. Spinoza, the pleasure was mine, Mrs. Taylor. Thank you for inviting me. I must admit you have a class full of promising little philosophers. Students stand up and say goodbye, bowing in respect to Spinoza, while the mysterious doorway was appearing behind the shelves for them to get them back to their classroom.